Thank you, Darren. Man, that last song hit home, because that's the sermon. Oh, I'd like to welcome everyone here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I struggled a little bit when I was asked to give this sermon, because I already had one ready. That wasn't the one I'm going to give. So yesterday, as I was piddling around, doing what I do, piddle around the house and this and that. I always have a pen and paper with me when I'm getting ready to preach, especially the day before. So all of a sudden I had all these notes start coming to me and made it fairly easy, which I love. I didn't have to struggle with it. But I entitled this, Know Your Enemy. Because we do have an enemy for our souls. Let's just dig right in. Revelation 12. I'm going to start at the first verse. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up into God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the power of the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of his testimony, and they received not their lot, and they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has a short time. I didn't say it exactly right, but close enough. You have to understand that we're in a war, a spiritual war, for our souls. And some may not like it, because you don't have a choice in this war. You don't have a choice in it. But you do have a choice on which side you're going to be on. There was a war in heaven, and the devil and his angels were cast down to earth. Because in verse 12 it says, Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down into you. And he goes around and he goes about trying to deceive us. He knows his time is short. How short? I don't know, but short. How long short? I don't know that either. But I have to remember that he's out there. He's got his angels out there, and he's after us. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. I'm going to go to Genesis 3. Start at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God hath known that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It's a good thing. You don't have to listen to God. You're surely not going to die. It's the way he works. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And their eyes were opened. From the very beginning, Satan was after us. From the very beginning, he's the deceiver. Because he used something that she wanted, something that she thought was good to be wise. The fruit was good. It looked good. God said not to take of it. But the serpent's wise. I try to tell people, the devil knows what he's doing and he's good at it. He's not good, but he's good at what he does. And he knows each and every one of our weaknesses. And he must have known Eve's weakness. It looks good. He'll be wise. So from the very beginning, it was taking place. And it was set up, the fall of man. And we became an enemy to God in the flesh. Matthew 4. Jesus was baptized of John the Baptizer in the River Jordan. And right after he was baptized, the devil came after him. You would think that he'd be scared of Jesus, but he still tempted him. And in Matthew 4, verse 1, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands that they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus used the scriptures because he said, It is written. So the devil says, Okay. He said, It is also written. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showing him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Even though Satan was tempting Jesus, Jesus always came back and said, "It is written." Even when the devil came back and said, "What's also written?" Jesus came back and said, "It's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So from the very beginning, the devil was going about his work to deceive us, to try to capture our souls from the Good Shepherd. And it's just not him. It says that he brought his angels with him. How many is it? I don't know. Where it says that it drew a third of the stars in heaven, cast them down to the earth. I'm supposing it's a third of however many angels were in heaven. I'm figuring there's a lot of them. I can't physically see them, but there's evidence to me that he tries to draw me away. They use things that I like, you know. And he whispers in my ear, "It'll be all right, just go ahead and do that thing." Even though I know it's wrong because it is written. And so I have to stand on the rock, which I know is a solid ground. 1 Peter. 5, start at verse 8. Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may desire." You ever thought why he used the lion? Because a lion's a predator. And lions go after the weakest because they're easier to take down. So I have to remember that in my weakness, especially, I have to be careful. I know in the past there are times when I have to actually pray, "Lord, you're going to have to help me, because if I'm tempted today, I'm really scared I'm going to fall because I feel weak. I feel like I want that fruit that I'm not supposed to partake of. I have to fight it. And I have to pray about it. Because I know me of myself. If I don't have Jesus Christ with me to help me, Mark Hill's going to fall. Because I have before." And I figure if it happens to me, it must happen to you all also. Hopefully you're stronger than I am. Verse 9. Now let's start over again. Verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Because he has called us to his glory. Each and every one of us are called to Jesus Christ. And sometimes in our lives it's stronger than others. I can remember when I was in high school, I had a strong feeling that I needed to take Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You don't want to know what I did? I ignored it. I went my own way. And I really didn't feel it as strong again until I was probably in my very late 20s. But I followed it that time, and man, I'm glad I did. The best decision I ever made in my life. The power of God will change even the vilest of people. He can pick you up from wherever you're at, and if you allow him, he can make you his. And he can give you that strength that we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. First John. And you might think, man, it's all lost and it's hard. But there's hope. 1 John 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. The devil was sinning in heaven, that's why, and he was cast out. So from the very beginning, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, was manifest to destroy those things that the devil's trying to do. He was sent down to earth for me and you. As a whole group and as an individual. And he calls us. And he calls us to him. He was set here to destroy the devil. Because there's a war going on. And we have to keep that in mind. And it's not of flesh and blood, it's of evil in high places. Because the more souls that the devil can draw away, the happier he is, but the worse we are. Go to the Book of Mormon. I'm going to use page numbers and verses. No, I usually do, but it's easier for me to find it on page 154. It's 2 Nephi 12. Second Nephi 12, starting at verse 23. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it needs be stirred up into repentance, or the devil will grasp them with these everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security. They that will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away and telleth them, there is no hell. And he hath said unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. If you've lived long enough, you've probably heard these things out in the world. There's no hell. Everybody goes to heaven. Well, if there's no hell, how can there be a heaven? And why would there be a heaven? And why would there not be a hell? And some of his tools have been come up here that he pacifies people and lulls them away and he whispers in their ears. Verse 28, and thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasped them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell and the devil and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from which they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Have you ever done anything so wrong that your guts get twisted up and wrenched because you knew that you did something wrong and your conscience was just bearing down on you so hard? If you've ever felt that, how would you think that would be to be endless? Never ending. I think I've come close to that once. And it's not a good feeling. And I sure wouldn't want to feel it for eternity. My mind can't even have a concept of eternity. Never ending. Never ending. Because everything right now for me has an end sometime. Where was I? Oh, verse 30. Therefore, woe unto him that is eased in Zion. Woe unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men and denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received and we need no more. And in fine, woe unto all that tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. For behold, he that is built upon the rock receiveth it with gladness, and he that is built upon sandy foundation trembleth, lest he fall. We have to remember that we need to build our house upon the rock, the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Because if it's built on anything less, if it's built on sand, have you ever stood in the Gulf or in the ocean and with your feet in the sand, and as the waves come up and stuff, you just kind of start sinking a little bit because that water, as it's coming around your feet, is pulling the sand away, and you just kind of feel like you're sinking a little bit? Have you ever stood on a rock in a creek? That didn't happen. So we need to make sure that we know who the rock is. Even if the truth of the gospel and the truth of what God says we might get our toes stepped on sometimes, but we've got to remember that it's for our own good. Because the truth of God is steadfast and sure. And when he said to Eve, don't eat that fruit, he meant it. Because their souls died that day. But the devil will say, you shall not surely die. You'll be wise. You don't need Jesus Christ. What good's he to you? He's, have you ever seen him? No, but I've never seen the devil either. But that's the way the devil works. He whispers in your ear, and he keeps pounding on you and pounding and pounding. And one way or another, because he knows that if he can keep doing it, sooner or later, he may win. And I'm always surprised when people say, well, the devil doesn't bother me. And I want to think, well, then you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart. Because if he's not coming after you at some time or another, I'd be worried. I'd be worried if he didn't come and try to do things in our church at times. Because then I'd wonder, are we really the church of Christ? If we're being left alone, because if we're being left alone as individuals and as a church, Satan's going, they're where I want them. You've got to know your enemy. And you've got to know the tools that he uses. Doubt. As a minister, I've heard, not every time, but almost, but real close, when I'm working with somebody with baptism, and you ask them what's holding them up, well, I don't know enough. And I say, where does it say that at? Because when I read the scriptures, it says, are you willing to take upon you the name of Jesus Christ? You know, I read things in Revelation in chapter 12. I don't understand what it says. I really don't. But that's okay. Because to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I just have to realize that he is the Son of God and that he put his life down on the cross for me. And that God has a plan for my salvation. He's got a plan to bring me into his fold and into his flock. Alma 3, page 317. Alma 3. Start at verse 61. The verses about the Good Shepherd in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon are probably some of the most precious to me. Alma 3, verse 61. O ye workers of iniquity, ye that are puffed up in vain things of the world, ye that have professed to have known the ways of righteousness, nevertheless ye have gone astray. As sheep having no shepherd, notwithstanding a shepherd hath called after you and still calling after you, but you'll not hearken unto his voice. You won't listen. Behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call you, yea, and in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. And if you'll hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which you're called, behold. Whoop. Let me start that again. Something didn't seem right. And if you'll not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which you're called, behold, you are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And now if you are not the sheep of the good shepherd, of what fold are ye? If you're not in the fold of Jesus Christ, what fold are you in? You're in the fold of the devil. You don't have a choice. It's either one on the one hand or one on the other. You can deny it, but it's so. Behold, I say unto you that the devil is your shepherd, and you are of his fold. And now who can deny this? Behold, I say unto you, whosoever denieth this is a liar and a child of the devil. For I say unto you that whatsoever is good cometh from God, and whatsoever is evil cometh from the devil. Therefore, if a man bringeth forth good works, he hearkeneth unto the voice of the good shepherd, and he doth follow him. How do you know if you're hearkening unto the voice of the good shepherd? You're doing good works. Not that the good works are going to save you, but that's why you do them. And that's how you know if you're listening to the voice of the good shepherd. And you follow him. But whosoever bringeth forth evil works, the same becometh a child of the devil, for he hearkeneth unto his voice and doth follow him. If you're doing wrong and you know you're doing wrong, you're hearkening to the voice of the devil. I guess I could just say, and that's the way it is. Because Satan, the devil, the deceiver, whatever word you want to use, he's after your soul. He's after my soul. He's after everybody's soul. Because he's hurting, and he wants you to hurt too. But yeah, we've got Christ, and he's after your soul, and he's after my soul, and he wants you to do good, and he wants you to be joyous. Not that you're going to have sorrow and pain and temptations aren't going to come your way. But if you go into the waters of baptism, and not deceitfully, and you receive the Holy Ghost, you've got that to work with you and to guide and direct you. Verse 103. Alma chapter 3, verse 103. For what shepherd is there among you having many sheep, doth not watch over them, that the wolves enter not and devour his flock? And behold, if a wolf enter his flock, doth he not drive him out? Yea, and at the last, if he can, he will destroy him. And now I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call after you, and if you will hearken unto his voice, he will bring you into his fold, and ye are his sheep. And he commandeth you that ye shall suffer no ravenous wolf to enter in among you, that ye may not be destroyed. And now I, Alma, do command you in the language of him who hath commanded me, that ye observe to do the words which I have spoken unto you. And I speak by the way of command unto you that ye belong to the church, and unto those who do not belong to the church, I speak by way of invitation, saying, come and be baptized into repentance, that ye may also be partakers of the fruit of the tree of life. There's an invitation. He says, come. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in repentance. And have hands laid up in you for the reception of the Holy Ghost. And be part of my fold. Be part of the flock of Jesus Christ. He'll guide us into all righteousness, and he'll take care of us, and he'll cast out the devil that's among us if we give him choice. And I'm going to end in the 10th chapter of John. Verse 11, John 10:11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep, for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Jesus goes on and says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for the sheep. He was crucified on the cross for us, and he took up his life again on the third day in the resurrection, to where we have hope of that resurrection, that we can dwell forever with God in heaven. God sent forth a plan, even though he cast the devil and his angels down to earth, he set forth a plan for us to be able to fight the devil and to be able to be redeemed, be bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. So the invitation is there. If you haven't been baptized, find somebody. Find a minister. A minister of Jesus Christ who's been called of the Church of Christ, this Church of Christ. And learn what baptism's all about. We don't just don't want to get you wet. We want you truly to be baptized. We just don't want to dunk you under and bring you back up out of the water. We want you to go into the waters, into the burial with Jesus Christ, and to be raised up again. To have your sins washed away, be repented. And to receive the Holy Ghost, which is the most precious. It'll guide you into righteousness. It'll guide you into all things. And it'll help teach you all things. So we have on one hand, we have the devil who's working against you. And on the other hand, we have Jesus Christ that wants you to fight and to fight hard. So take upon you the name of Jesus Christ. Learn of his ways. Like I said, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I know a lot of people felt this way. When I came up out of the water, I felt so clean. Not that I didn't have dirt on my body, because I probably still did, but my soul was clean. Everything that I ever did was washed away. And man, I felt so good, I could not wipe the smile off my face. And when I received the Holy Ghost, I felt it. From the top of my head, down through my arms, to the bottom of my feet. So I have no doubt that I was baptized into Jesus Christ and into that flock. And I'm not saying that everybody has to feel it the same way I did. But it was the greatest thing that ever happened.